We here at the Prickly City Podcast aren't afraid of the big questions. This week's, is groping bad manners?
Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for December 11th, 2017. I'm Janine Faddish, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
Thank you, Janine Faddish, and thank you all for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. I guess I should finish the word before I go on to the next thought. It's December 11th already?
It is.
Holy crap cakes.
Time's going by.
Yeah, now next week we're going to have a podcast, of course, and then that'll be it for a while.
Right.
We're going to be out of town.
Gone.
Visiting our son in a foreign land.
Yes.
That's, are you excited about this?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. So I go, yes.
Yes.
It's all about the life of the studio people. They love to hear it. Let's dive right in, shall we? Apparently that's what we're doing.
Right, because okay. The first question you asked in your strip was, are we all bad?
All to, men.
Yeah, or is it just men?
Right.
To which Railwayman 001 replied, "Correction, Winslow, we're not completely bad, we're just not completely good. In a similar way, the majority of reasonable people are neither completely conservative nor completely liberal. Further, similarly, those on the far left and the far right, and disgustingly, it includes Herr Drumpf, just look at the Madison Gorsuch appointments, which I was personally for, are not completely bad either."
Okay.
So he's saying that everybody's a little good and a little bad.
Yeah, and that's actually where the strip goes. But I was asking, what obviously, you know, what I'm talking about in this week's strip is the groping and the sexual harassment cases that are now exploding. And we seem to have 1, 2, 3 revelations a day.
Right.
Now, recently we had Senator Franken and the other great Minnesotan, Garrison Keillor. Apparently, when you get caught, you say you don't remember it that way. And you lose your job. Apparently, that seems to be the attack. But the question is, for me, on this whole issue has been, are men bad? And not all men are bad. But
no, because Braindead says, it's only the Democrat men that are bad, right, Scott? It's okay if a Republican does it.
Who said that? Who in the
Braindead, but you had someone who stuck up for you.
Was it you?
No.
Okay.
It wasn't me, although I would, but I don't comment on things. Ritzoid says, please don't treat Scott Stantis as if he was Glenn McCoy or the guy who does Mallard Fillmore or any of the other rabid dogs speak no evil of the GOP cartoonists. His politics aren't my politics, but he's never been that guy, and this has never been that strip.
Well, and this week particularly, we're recording this on the 11th, where we are, Alabama's going to decide who their next senator will be tomorrow, and it's going to be, chances are, Roy Moore.
And you do not support.
I can't
and
support.
And you have never supported him. Even before this, you did not support him.
Only because he's crazy, not very smart. But past that, he's going to be an excellent U.S. senator.
Sarcasm.
Sarcasm.
Just make sure. Sometimes you have to say it.
Should we have a sound? Just the sarcasm, like bell or something. Yeah, that was sarcasm, people. No, this is it's going to be a catastrophe for the GOP. And what I've really been wrestling with for the last couple of weeks is my team, right or wrong, my pervert, right or wrong. You know, regardless of who they are, Al Franken is still having these postmortems of, you know, God, they lost a good one there. Well, unless you're one of the women he grabbed or tried to kiss or groped when you were asleep.
Someone, and I don't recall who it was, I'm sorry, discussing on NPR saying that with Al Franken, he did these awful things, but he helped pass good policy while there were these other Republican people who did these bad things and they didn't even pass good policy to make it kind of
well, and that's again whoever's ox is being
made it more okay.
Bill Clinton was the same way. People defended him because, you know, it was the policies they agreed with, but you know, the guy was a sexual this guy Bill Clinton was a particular sexual predator and has a credible charge of rape against him. You should put some ice on that. That's what he said to a woman that, you know, she bit her lip so hard during the attack that it was bleeding. I mean, this guy, that's a monstrous person, but that was okay. That was okay. You know, it wasn't okay. And guess what? It's not okay if my side does it either. Listen, here's some personal history, very brief. I worked on some women's groups in the 70s. I know it sounds strange, but because the whole thing, like Miss Buxley, you know, remember that from Beetle Bailey? You know,
right.
And she was chased around the desk.
Ha, ha, ha.
Ha, ha, that's great. Yeah, potential rape is always hilarious. So I worked on a number of groups. One was a theater group, experimental feminist theater. Yeah, it was probably about as good as it sounded. But one of the things that did energize me and was a judge in Madison, Wisconsin, where I was a kid, in junior high and high school, ruled that a girl who had been dating this one guy and was sexually active with him, she broke up. And then he had mentioned, they were at school, and he had, lured isn't the right word. He said, you know, we're smoking weed. And to her discredit, she said, oh, that sounds like a good thing to do. And then many of his friends raped her. And the judge ruled that because, A, she was sexually active, and B, because of the way she was dressed, she had it coming.
Which is nuts.
Of course it is. So me and a lot of other people got energized, passed petitions, got us an election going, got him thrown out of office, and in fact was replaced by a woman judge. Those were the types of changes, but those were the attitudes. They were pervasive.
I mean, and some of them are still now.
What do you mean?
Those attitudes.
Like?
That they're asking for it. How were you dressed? They still ask that.
Well, it's victim shaming. And, you know, I've been having this discussion for the last months or so because many of these charges aren't. I'm going to sound like I'm dismissing or being dismissive. And hopefully Janine can help me save me from myself when I talk about this. But there, you can't have a work environment that people work together, see each other every day, you know, and you say and do things that are just funny, and or you think they're funny, maybe they're not, and you know, some of them are innocent, some of them are just to be collegial, but none of these stories are collegial.
No, when you touch someone, that's not collegial.
No, all of these things, well, especially the things like Weinstein and many of the others who, you know, clearly grabbing somebody against their will. And so the victim shaming that has come from both sides, which is embarrassing to watch and horrific to hear, quite frankly, I liken it to abuse. And it truly is. And it becomes, the psychology becomes, if you're the victim, then part of that code is that you have to, that you're ashamed of what happened, that somehow you brought it on yourself. And you know, as a victim of physical abuse myself, I can tell you for decades, I wouldn't talk about it because, you know, you're ashamed of it. Your family and whoever's doing it foist this on you continually tells you, you know, this, don't say anything about this outside the family. You know, this is no one else's business. This is no one else's business. Well, it is. It's everyone's business. And so I think what's going to happen is we're Americans. And I forget who said this, but I love this quote. It says, anything worth doing is worth overdoing. And so this pendulum is going to swing way too far the other way. And a lot of people, a lot of innocent people, are going to get swept up in this. And, you know, and we're going to lose sight of the true problem that has festered in our culture for you know, hundreds of years. This isn't anything new.
But then we will swing back.
I hope so, and there's always, as in all things, there's usually a middle ground here. So that's what this week's strips were about. I just love this one quote. The second strip was Winslow saying, "I'm an American. If it happened before 1999, I have no knowledge of it." And we really have lost sight of history. I talked to high schools, I talked to colleges. Recent work, I thought the comparison between the candidate and now president and Richard Nixon is sound. But I show those cartoons, they have no idea who he is.
I mean, it's just,
yeah, you know, and I'm reading a book now on James K. Polk. Now, can you imagine if I did a cartoon on James K. Polk?
Who?
Yes. In fact, most 99% of the people are going, who? He did let Texas into the Union. That was kind of awesome. But I guess, unless you don't like Texas. You like Texas. You've been to Marfa. You didn't see the lights, though.
Go to Marfa. We didn't see the lights, but it's okay. Texas is okay.
Okay.
Drive through. It's just big. Takes forever to get through it.
Yeah, that's the one problem. They should break it up into four states for no other reason than to make it feel like you're actually driving
somewhere. Right.
Yeah, because you can. You if you're going north, let's say you're going east to west, you come in at where is that? You know, heck. I'm losing my. You come in from the east side from Louisiana.
Yeah.
And then you drive.
And you drive.
And you drive, and the sun goes down, and you go to sleep, and you wake up the next morning, you're still in Texas. It's that far until you exit from El Paso. It is that long a drive. Okay, that's all I'm saying, folks. Sorry. ADD is kicking in. Let's rein it back in, folks. Okay. So the other And then we talked about how groping has been going on for a long time. It was okay. You know, it was like laughing. And like I said, Beetle Bailey was, you know, and every, if you look at sitcoms from that era, you know, grabbing and kissing a woman against her will was, you know, sometimes high comedy.
Well, that often happened in movies, even, you know, old movies where someone would grab someone, kiss them, and they'd be fighting, and then suddenly they're hugging.
Yeah, that always happens.
Yeah, in real life, right.
Well, mm-hmm. You know, it's just so funny because, you know, I mean, some of these charges, you know, like, you know, Charlie Rose, who, you know, was this craggly old guy, you know, would walked into a meeting naked? Geek! Did he really think this was going to be like some, like, oh, he's saggy?
I don't know. He couldn't possibly have been thinking clearly. I don't know. It's weird. I don't get it.
He has a body like an old purse. Women likey. Nah. See, I'm again.
Move on.
Sarcasm. Okay. We talk about manners, and we did get some comments on the manners part. And
most people mention that, you know, what do you mean by manners? Some people, you know, that's not anything. It's just etiquette.
Yeah, I read some of the comments, and I've been jumping in more regularly than I had before at Go Comics. And again, please feel free to go and register and join in the conversation over there.
Well, Coffee Cup said, I don't know, you can have perfect manners and still be an evil person. When we moved to Texas the second time, we changed the phrase Southern hospitality to Southern hostility when we realized it was just a veneer. And that's an experience we had when we first moved south, is that it was more, we're politer than thou.
Yes. Yeah, we say ma'am and sir, but we still...
Don't you find that we're so nice and polite here? And it was like everywhere, there are good people and bad people everywhere. But there did seem to be a aggressive politeness that we're so polite here, but it wasn't real. It was just polite, but not kind.
Right. And I guess what I meant by manners is the golden rule. You want someone to be nice to you. You would like someone not to grab you. Would like someone not to assault you.
Right.
I think.
Well, we have an interesting comment that it would be interesting for you to discuss. This may take a little longer, but John writes, you'll probably have a funny and snarky response, which I'll enjoy, but there's some irony in your golden rule script today, considering the ugly tone and content of your comments about political figures residing left of your preferences. Keep it up, though. You often hit home runs, although you also do some right of your preferences.
Yeah, I mean...
But that has been a struggle for you, is how can you be a kind... Christian-y person and
Christian-y?
Still Christian-y and attack.
Christian,
people.
We can say Christian, honey. We can do that here.
Okay.
Put the Christian back in Christian. as I'm a practicing Christian. It's always been a struggle. I mean, Janine has heard this for 36 plus years of our marriage and before. And it's a tough question, because how can I do what I do in the comic strip, but more so in the editorial cartoons, which are much more brusque and to the point, and still consider myself, as I mentioned in these in this week's Prickly City that we're discussing, how in the world can you do both? I mean, and I've talked to priests about it, and they all come back and say, I think God understands that you have to be harsh, you have to be strident in your beliefs, and you have to express them sometimes in a harsh manner. It is. I mean, you got me. I mean, who was that? Who wrote that? Who did that comment?
John.
Just John?
He emailed. Mm-hmm.
Oh, John.
It was an email.
Okay. So, John, no snarky response here. It's a great question, and it's a constant internal struggle for me. And I express it in the strip as well. You know, I think you have to, you know, I talk about Roy Moore, who is a miserable person. And I mean, truly is. Just, and it's even long before the stuff of him being a 30-year-old attorney cruising for teenage girls at the food court. Ugh. I've known him because I worked in Alabama for many, many years before I came here to the Chicago Tribune and WGN Plus. And, you know, I just would blast away at him. And this is a man who, honest to God, and I'm not making this up, and I cartooned about it, said that it's okay to kill homosexuals because they're against God's will. You know, how do you respond to that in a Christian way?
Well, especially because he had the Ten Commandments there, and really big was, thou shalt not kill.
Thou shalt not kill?
But apparently that only matters to a lot of these people in abortion.
Yeah, which I oppose as well, and but I think we can have a reasonable discussion on that. That's a different podcast. My point is that some things demand a harsh response and they should make you angry. And hopefully what's informing that anger is precisely what John mentions, which is, someone is being very, very rude. And by rude, I mean grabbing someone, by saying salacious things about either, someone of the other sex, or they could be the same sex. I'm not going to judge because there have been jerks on all sides of that sexual
conundrum. And you have come out against Trump as well.
Oh, yeah. No, you can tell. I draw him as a skunk for crying out loud. And again, I think that's appropriate because I believe he is terribly harmful to all the things that I think are important. So, John, I mean, like I said, no snark. It's a great question, a great comment. And so, yeah, more often than not, I'm going to make fun of the left, although the right, I was writing this week's Prickly City. We just flew in this morning from Cleveland, Cincinnati, visiting friends down there. And I wrote the strip, and I'm working on Carmen. Tomorrow night we're going to know if Roy Moore is the next senator from Alabama. And if he is, particularly if he is, I don't know what that's. I know exactly what it says about the party. I know exactly what it says about the Republican Party, which is all things bad. It confirms everything bad that people think about the Republican Party. And if I'm a Democrat, I am praying, not openly, but I am praying that he gets elected because he was an embarrassment on the local level in Alabama. I mean, he lost two statewide races. People don't know, maybe not know that, but he lost two statewide races.
And he was removed from the Supreme Court twice.
Twice, because he doesn't believe in the rule of law except for the rule of Roy. He's going to be a gold mine for the Democratic Party. And so for me, I have to ask myself some very big, serious questions going forward on this. And they're not comfortable ones. And one is, am I still a Republican? I don't know that I am anymore.
Well, you have said that you weren't often.
Yes, but that's the conservative party. And I tend to, and this is going to direct, we'll have this discussion on another podcast. This is going on very long. Are there other comments that you think we need to get to? Or?
Oh, there was just one that I really liked. You know, your Sunday strip, you had Carmen and Winslow in separate corners.
Yes.
And Holden On said, "And once I've settled that my corner is supreme, I fail to recognize that I am cornered."
Oh, that's wonderful. That's, oh, I wish, Holden On, where the hell were you when I was writing this thing? Because that's way better than the lines I had. That's great. And it's true. Once you just turn your back on every other thought that contradicts the thoughts you have, then, yeah, you're cornered. Then you've blocked out and become, frankly, a blockhead and rather stupid. So, on that note, I want to thank everyone for listening to this week's edition. I want to thank Brian Altimer, our producer. Wonderful man. You are. Don't just stare at me like that. You are. He really is. He's a great guy and has been put up with a lot of us, which is a lot.
Yeah, tough to do.
It is. So thank you, Janine Fadich, for filling in. Thank you, WGN Plus. If you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen and Winslow, you're more than welcome by going to gocomics.com/prickly city. Leave a comment, and maybe we'll bring it up here on the podcast. There actually was a comment I thought I'd seen, and apparently in some flashback, drug flashback or something. We can't find it. But we'll find it for next week, maybe. Or not. Who knows?
Or not.
So, again, gocomics.com/prickly city. Leave a comment, or you want to have a discussion with us directly, go ahead and email us at pricklycity@gmail.com, and we would love to hear from you. So until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.